Now, look with me at 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16. Paul is writing to Timothy. It's the last verse there, in, I think, in chapter 4. He says, keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Persist in this, for by so doing you will save both yourself and your hearers. There is an individual component. That is, I think, every one of us in our personal walk with the Lord. We have a stewardship. We have an accountability to Him. And we are to watch that we are walking as we should. We are to watch that our teaching conforms to what our Lord Jesus is saying. There is individual accountability. The problem is, my friend, that when you get people who are out of line, they will tell you their spirituality is their business. It's none of yours. And therefore, they isolate themselves from any correction and any discipline that might take place and should take place within the church. There is individual accountability, but it does not nullify what Paul is saying as far as corporate responsibility and accountability to all of the elders. So what I'm saying is this. Every elder is accountable and in submission, ideally, to all the elders. No elder is trying to drag the elders under him. He is to submit himself to where the leadership is going. That, my friend, is what plurality is about. Real plurality is about that. Now, I have to tell you that sometimes form and function don't match. I can tell you about churches that have top-down structure where you have a humble man and humble leaders. And they're actually doing a better job at this than in some place that has New Testament forms. And let me tell you, anytime you've got forms, people find a way around them. If you want to do what Paul is warning against, it can be done. And it can be done in a way that looks so pious. So it's not just somebody else. It's us that needs to be aware. Or as the song says, it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Now, look with me at 1 Timothy chapter 5. Verses 17 through 22. This is one that I've heard a lot, and especially I've heard a lot from preachers who think they ought to be paid more, but I haven't heard much about the last part of this text. 1 Timothy 5, 17. Elders who provide effective leadership. I don't actually like that translation. Elders who rule well should be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who work hard in speaking and teaching. For the scripture says, do not muzzle an ox while it is treading the grain. The worker deserves his pay. Good, I'll buy that. Now let's look at the next verses, which are not quite so comforting. Do not accept an accusation against an elder unless it be confirmed by two or three witnesses. Those guilty of sin must be rebuked before all as a warning to the rest. Before God and Christ Jesus and the elect angels, I solemnly charge you to carry out these commands without prejudice or favoritism of any kind. That's pretty strong words, would you not say? That is strong words. So here's the way I read. I read 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16. You have an individual accountability before God, Timothy. You need to keep it straight in terms of your life and your doctrine. Amen. Acts chapter 20 to the elders. Elders, you need to police your own body. You need to shepherd yourselves in such a way that you do not allow dominance to arise in an unbiblical way and therefore leads to misleading and taking the flock astray. And here I hear Paul saying, you're not only individually accountable to God, you're not only accountable to your fellow elders. This one says, you are accountable to the flock. Do I read right? Is that not what this text says? It doesn't say just elders who will find something. It says, if there is an accusation of impropriety, of sin, about a particular elder. Now, when he says two or three witnesses, folks, that's what everybody was entitled to. Nobody, in biblical terms, could be indicted on the testimony of one person. It had to be that. So all I'm saying is, elders don't get any advantage here. They get the same rights everybody else does. And that is, if there's an accusation, then it better be documented. If it's documented, it needs to be acted on. But because elders are examples to the flock, they are examples when they do right. They are examples when they do wrong. And dealing with that publicly in the presence of all, I got to tell you, you remember what the Old Testament says? Strike the scoffer and the simple will listen, will learn. There is something that happens when people see this church takes sin seriously, and nobody in this church is exempt from that sin. I remember years ago, there was a very, very well-known man, and there had been some very serious sin that seemed to be very well documented. And I remember one of the members of his board said something like this: "This is such a great work, and he is such a great man. We just can't let it stop." No, you just can't let it go on. You cannot look the other way when sin is being dealt with. So there you have those three levels of accountability. Now, notice in this text, it says something that's important. When I talk about the plurality of all the elders, I'm not talking about equality in the sense that everyone has the same gift, or that everyone puts in the same amount of effort, or in this case, that everyone gets the same level of remuneration. Paul says very clearly here, there are some who devote themselves especially to teaching the word, and they are worthy of double honor. That is, I think, they're worthy of their pay. Now, I can say that about Chuck. He's worthy of his pay. And so it's only right, is it not? It's only right that he be paid in proportion to the contribution that he makes and the dedication and the sacrifices he makes in doing the ministry. That's one element. So not all elders have the same gift. Not all elders should have the same function. And that's why personally, I'll probably get in trouble for saying this, but personally, I disagree with round robin preaching where every elder is given exactly the same amount of exposure when it's obvious that there isn't there is some distinction in gift. And if some ought to do more than others, then I don't see why. I'm not saying some elders ought not to preach. I'm saying everybody shouldn't have to be held to the same volume of preaching, because this text says gift and other things come to bear on that. So anyway, you have differences of ability, but there's this essential equality that I think is in all these texts. So elders, in sort of drawing all these texts together, elders need to be individually accountable, they need to be corporately accountable to fellow elders, and they need to be accountable to the body.